Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I'm Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. And the topic of our podcast today is the Straw Hat Riots, a riot that took place in New York City back in September of 1922 when some of the men of New York City violated a fashion faux pas, Brandy, by wearing straw hats later than September.
Oh, for fuck's sake,
15th.
Who does that?
And
what the hell?
Heathens.
Who
Heathens
does that?
Do that.
Yeah, well, they don't. They don't.
They're probably wearing them sideways too.
Of this riot that took place, and we're going to talk about that. But before we do, Colonel, let me remind you that we're a comedy podcast, and, well, we don't have very many morals, and sometimes we use adult language.
Goddamn right we do.
Mostly it's Brandy, but we say
mostly
all of
it's
us
Brandy.
Because...
It's almost
know,
always Brandy.
We
thanks.
Don't want to point
thanks
her
for
out,
not pointing but, me out.
But
we don't want
course,
to do no. We don't want to do no Brandy shaming on here, Timmy.
Well,
but,
Colonel, let's talk about this because... You're on another pod. You are on another podcast, a very well received podcast called Spy Stories.
I am, yes.
And I've listened to every episode, and it's well done. Your co-host is very knowledgeable, very entertaining, and you also add to that podcast with your insights. And yet, and I of course have another podcast called Deadball, where I talk about
yes.
dead baseball players. And you know on. Not on either one of those podcasts have I heard swearing.
And can I ask you this, Timmy?
Mm-hmm.
On yours, Deadball, mm-hmm. have you ever got an explicit rating?
Nope.
And on my other one, I have never had an explicit rating.
And yet...
So it's kind of like an algebra problem, Timmy. There's one variable here that gives us an explicit rating, and I think it's Brandy the Sailor.
Brandy, has anyone talked to you about, you know, did you go to finishing school? I did. Did they talk
yes.
about swearing? And
yes, they did.
That sort of thing? Were you...
Of course I did.
Did you pass?
I was valedictorian.
Hmm. Well, yeah, she slept with half a prof. Yeah, half the teachers there.
You know
pass.
What? Let's move on.
Well, okay. We just wanted to warn people. Sometimes
we're
Brandy
trying
swears.
To make you
oh,
a
well,
better
often
person.
Often Brandy swears, and if that offends you, then please check out one of the other fine independent produced podcasts out there that somehow get through a whole podcast.
Because they don't work with the two of you.
Let
How
me.
How about that?
Let me introduce a lady who is known as Brandy the Benevolent, Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm all right, Timmy. I've taken the next week off work, so I'm good. I'm cruising.
You're on vacation.
I'm very excited.
What are your plans?
Well. me and my good friend Stephanie Bomer are going down to my parents have a cabin in the woods. And we're going to take a couple of days and go down there and not do anything. Read books.
Do you know that's where most murder
I know. So maybe this will be a good story for you guys, but I do want to before we move on, and we will shortly, I'm sure. Couple of things that I wanted to say. Noah has requested that I tell all of his fans and listeners that he really enjoys playing the Friday the 13th video game. And he is
so he's endorsing Friday the 13th
it's
video
It's extremely
game.
Graphic and ridiculously violent, but you know, he's yapping at me in the background, but he wanted me to tell everybody that he really enjoys playing that. And then
okay, well, that's good. I'm sure they're pleased
I'm
to
sure,
have his endorsement.
I'm sure they are.
They should, maybe
I'm
they,
sure,
they should
well,
be paying.
Yes, they should be. But then the other thing I wanted to point out was, you know, we Stephanie and I both went to Chicago a couple weeks ago, and we had a great time. And yes, but
yeah,
I would not – none of it would have been possible without my – I have two brothers. I have Casey is my youngest brother and lives in Lexington. Thank you, Noah. I know who my brothers are.
Casey's been on the
and,
show
And then Jason, who I would also actually like to get on the show here shortly. But none of it would have been possible without my wonderful brother, Jason, who watched Noah for 2 days and allowed him to change my Google password and download stuff.
He should have been paying you.
Well, paying that's kind of how I feel.
Yeah, I would have watched Noah. You did. I'm a little hurt that
well,
you
were
didn't
supposed
ask me
to be
watch
in Chicago.
Noah.
And
yeah, don't bring that up. Chuck.
Yeah, you were supposed to be in Chicago, and you know, I really want to make sure that he knows how much I appreciated. He does, and I got a text from him that said. Yeah, no shout out to me for watching your kid while you went to Chicago. So I wanted to make sure, sure that I got that because he really did.
Well,
he
Jason,
was doing God's
you probably
work.
Know, Jason, as you know, I want to address this to Jason because Jason, as you know, she's thoughtless.
I am,
but we appreciate you, Jason, and you're welcome to come on the show anytime to share Brandy stories because I'm sure all it is would. Love to know more about Queen Brandy and her upbringing and
her
lesbian softball. I mean, everyone loves a good lesbian softball story.
I'm trying to talk him to coming into DweebCon. I'm trying to. Yeah, well.
Oh, cool. Yes. Yeah, he can be on.
I know. Well,
we can interview him live.
He's funny because, you know, he, like, you know, all of us. Has some social anxiety and, you know, he's just not sure, whatever. And I'm like, dude, you would be amongst friends if you come down. Like, all of us.
Exactly.
Together,
exactly.
We're fine. Separately, we go to our own corners and tend to stay there. So, I'm hoping we can all talk him into that. And Jason's just a really good guy. He's Eli's dad. So Eli, my pup, he's Eli's dad. So... So Jason, thank you so much. I know that I didn't shout it out on the podcast, but thank you. I really, you stepped through and you did God's work. So I appreciate you.
Well, Jason, we would love to have you on the podcast anytime, especially at DweebCon. So you have an open invitation. We would love for you to come and be on the show.
So it sounds to me like Jason is a fine person. And I know I met Casey. He's a fine person. So
yeah,
I can only.
I was the oldest.
I can only go to whatever your problem
no,
is cannot
well,
be your parents'
I was the
fault.
Oldest, so all the experimenting and shit was, you know, by the time they got on down the line, they already knew. So.
They were able to perfect.
That's what you want to go with. Mm-hmm. So that's it. I'm on vacation.
I thought your parents were wolves.
You've met my parents.
For a long
I think you've
time.
Seen my parents. They're lovely people. Yeah. Yeah. So
they're very nice people.
You know, I was not raised by wolves, but
Well, you definitely God, stand
you have
out
no
in
idea.
Your family. But,
yeah, as the black sheep, of course.
Okay, yeah, yes, that's course. What I meant.
Well, I'm the one, all my cousins.
Well, we would,
but I'm sure
we would
they still love
Jason
you.
On the show, and we certainly appreciate him watching Noah so you could go up and, well, actually, you're supposed to go up and work. You went up, actually.
Well, but,
went on
wait
a
minute, let's
drunk,
also,
but,
whose fault was it that I was not at a table? Whose fault? Not my fault.
It was
Charles's fault.
I didn't do it.
So, but no, in my family, all of my cousins kind of moved away, and so Jason and I are in charge of this rowdy group of old people that are my family. So, it's a bit like herding cats, but you know, between the two of us, we've managed to keep them all alive so far.
Well,
it is.
The day's
it
still
is.
Young.
So, there you go. That's what's happening, and I'm going to the cabin here on Thursday. I'm very excited. So that's kind of how it is.
Okay. If you hear a noise outside, don't tell Stephanie.
Well,
I'm
no, I'll,
go
I'll throw
check
her
outside
out. And tell her to go check it out.
Yeah. It's just, well, I've seen those movies. Don't take a shower. Don't take a shower.
No.
Well, that's where they get you, in the shower.
And if you're running from someone, don't run into the garage.
I will try to avoid it. And I will also try and avoid running in high heels so that I trip and fall and twist an ankle. So, yes. I will avoid that.
Yes. All right. Let me introduce the man who
we
really
spent
needs...
a lot of time on brandy
I got
today.
A lot happening.
Man, that's a lot of brandy time. You're right.
Yeah.
A man who needs no introduction, a man who is known as the most dangerous man in podcasting today. Brandy, I can't tell you how many people have come up to me and said, you know, that colonel, he is really a oasis in the desert
Zero people
of despair.
Have done that.
The very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as a Southern gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Holy shit.
Oh, I couldn't be better, Timmy.
Wait a minute.
Oh. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Couldn't be better, Timmy.
Well, that's
that's
I'm
a friggin'
happy to
switch.
Hear you, Colonel. What's going on with you?
Well, Timmy, you know, I bought this house years and years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when I bought the house, you know, it was kind
Much
of a
like
fixer-upper.
Yourself.
And I built the deck on the house, Tim, and it's a goddamn impressive deck too. I have to say that. And for the last week, I have been
he's known for his
washing.
Deck, Brandy.
He's oh yeah, I got some deck over here. My deck's got some game. And I pressure washed my deck, Timmy, and I have 3 coats of sealer on it, and that job is complete, and I'm done.
Well, that was
your
fucking stupid
handy,
story. What the fuck? You sealed your deck? Who cares? What the fuck kind of ridiculous ass story is
well,
that?
There's a lot of people who's interested in. A lot of people is interested in Colonel's.
No,
deck.
No, they're not.
Yeah,
they're not. I speak for all people. They're not.
Hmm.
And I went around checked my fences to make sure the puppy couldn't get. You know, I got. As you, some of our listeners know, she brought a puppy home.
Mm-hmm.
And the goddamn thing's insane, Timmy. It's
Is
just
it
completely
well?
Insane. Is it what?
Is it adjusting well?
The dog thinks he's 75 pounds, Timmy. He keeps picking
baby.
Fights with
he's
Rudy.
A good boy.
And Rudy tries to play along with him. You know how dogs, when they fight, they like to bite each other's ears?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Beauregard is too small to reach Rudy's ears. So Rudy has to get down on the ground and cock his head sideways so Beauregard can get a hold of his ear.
Oh, well, that's very gentlemanly of him.
Well, it's very gentlemanly until Rudy just whacks him with a paw and knocks him across the room because Beauregard's only a pound and a half. But he literally thinks he's about 65 pounds. He'll come up to Rudy, get up on his back paws, and get up in Rudy's face. And then Rudy just whacks him with a paw and knocks him across the room. And now, then he shakes his head.
Rudy's not jealous at all?
No, they've actually become pretty close friends, Timmy. They've become pretty fast friends. They run around the yard and play with each other. And, well, they play with each other as best they can when you have a 65-pound dog and a 1-pound dog. But Rudy,
Rudy has a little brother.
Rudy has a little brother. He's teaching him, you know, and it's – Rudy has really set a standard for dogs that really no other dog is going to meet.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
I don't care. But I love the dogs.
Rudy has a big following.
He's a big what?
And now
he
I'm
does
sure
have a big following.
Yes, yes.
Following. A lot of people like Rudy.
Well, it's so an amazing story that you played farmer and built a deck and checked your fences. Awesome.
I fixed them.
You fixed them.
Well, I'm glad you're doing well, Colonel.
You don't appreciate the simple things in life. So that's what your problem is.
No, and I mean, let's compare the stories. He's just doing some home improvement, talking about the love and loyalty of a puppy. And all you went on about was going down to a cabin, smoking some wacky weed, drinking some moonshine, getting shit-faced, getting away from your family.
Are you sure? Are you sure it's my family
so I'm
getting away from?
Clearly have
are
shown.
You absolutely sure.
Who's well, the more?
Are you taking
the
your
more
family
responsible
with you?
And caring?
I'm a
person.
Lovely person.
Brandy, are you taking no. Young Noah with you?
No.
Okay. So you are getting away from your family.
Well, I am, but that is not the purpose of this trip. It's just a bit of a bonus.
Whatever you tell yourself to sleep at night.
Let me give you some advice, Devil, for trips like this. Because you're going to take a copious amount of marijuana with you. I know how you travel. But you need to divide that in half and give your friend half and take half. Because the amount that you're going to take, if they catch it on one person, it's going to be a distribution charge. They're not going to believe that much marijuana
is for one person, Devil.
So have your friend.
And you know she's swinging by the pain clinic on her way down there.
Both
of you have met Stephanie, so that's who I'm going down with. She is very nice.
She's very nice. She is very
nice.
Second
of all, I feel certain that since we're going to the fucking Eastern Kentucky bumfuck bejesus, that I'm betting that there's some growing in the yard, and I won't even have to take my own. I'm betting I can just walk through the woods a little bit and come across a whole stash of shit. So I'm okay.
Well, you know, I wasn't going to say this, but it's bothering me a little bit, and I know the Colonel is too much of a gentleman to say this, but did she not just pawn Noah off on? Didn't she just talk about pawning Noah off on her brother
a
couple weeks ago?
And now he's
going to
go stay with my mom and dad.
Don't you feel guilty leaving
Noah behind?
Do not.
Are you capable of feeling guilty?
So every other week, it's okay just to leave your small child and go smoke dope, get high, take your pain pills.
It's like you're some kind of movie star or something. Like you're Paris Hilton with a small child.
First of all, settle down, Ambisol addiction. Settle down. simmer with that. Noah is going to be perfectly happy. He's going to stay with his grandparents, who will love him and give him everything that he wants.
I have no doubt that he'll be happy. I have no doubt he'll be happy. But, you know, you have a responsibility of a parent.
And
I mean, you just left him.
Let me also say this.
A few days ago.
This trip may not necessarily be for me. It may be that my friend Stephanie wants to go out because she's got some things that she needs to work out, and we're going to go and tackle those things together. I mean, is that even possible that I'm doing this, you know, for somebody else?
Also, you're sharing Stephanie's problems airwaves where 32 people are going to hear them.
I feel like that's a very distinct possibility. I'm posing
the question.
Isn't it possible that I'm doing this unselfishly.
No, it's not. No.
Well, you doing something unselfishly would be out of character a great deal. It's possible that you could be, but it's just not been the experience.
Well, then I'll tell you what
I've had with you. That's all.
Now, as you're driving down in Kentucky, will you be sharing stories like, you know, your days at your economics professor, that sort of thing?
But I'll tell you what, Chuck. Since I am selfish and ungiving, stay the fuck out of my office and keep your grubby paws out of my peanut butter M&Ms and my Pop-Tarts. How about that?
Oh, no. You know what? When you left Friday,
yeah.
I went in
stay
and
the fuck out of my office.
M&Ms.
I'm going to have Jamie Lockett.
I did.
Stay out of my office.
Yeah.
I would have shared, but you're a prick, so now I'm not.
I got a key.
He's like
see
that woman
you,
no, that went in and licked the ice cream, didn't he?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Straw Hat Riots. That's why people are tuning in.
Nah, not for 20 minutes of
everyone
bullshit.
Everyone about this story.
Is it? Yeah. No, I'm just saying she is running off, Timmy.
Amok she's running.
Into Kentucky, and watch out. If you hear banjo playing, just lock the doors and hide. Because
I bet she doesn't wear shoes the whole weekend.
That would be amazing.
No. And then saying, oh, no, this is basically what she's saying is it's like a church. She's trying to make this mission trip.
Absolutely not.
Oh, my friend Stephanie needs me. That's why I got to take a pound and
what
a half of marijuana
fuck?
With me.
Yeah, she acts
know.
Like she's going to Jesus camp, but she's not.
Oh, yeah. My God. Can we talk about the Straw Hat Riots? And this fashion faux pas?
The Straw Hats Riots, Brandy, occurred between September 15th and September 23rd in 1922 in
New York City. Sorry.
The riots were precipitated by gangs of young boys marauding in the streets of New York, snatching and smashing straw hats being worn by men violating social norms by wearing their straw hats beyond the acceptable date of September the 15th.
What were they, a bunch of goddamn savages?
Seriously.
No, apparently they had some problems. Men in the early 20th century who wore straw hats after September the 15th were commonly ridiculed. Their hats were snatched off their heads and crushed. And during this fateful year of 1922, men in straw hats were physically assaulted by mobs of young hoodlums,
fucking hoodlums
in New York City, Brandy. Your thoughts on that?
It's like white shoes after Labor Day. You deserve to be scorned and shunned.
Men commonly wore, of course, wore these hats in the roaring 1920s. But societal norms strictly prevented them from donning the straw hat variety after September the 15th. Everyone knew it. Everyone was aware. Everyone was on notice.
They put it in the paper.
Yeah, they actually did. No one's exactly sure why September 15th was the cutoff date, particularly since summer doesn't officially end until September the 21st. But by this unwritten rule, this one was very specific. September 15th was called, also known as Felt Hat Day, meaning that you should substitute your straw hat for a more traditional felt hat beginning on September the 15th and wear that throughout, you know, the rest of the year. Felt hat season began promptly on September the 16th and was in effect until May the 15th, exactly 8 months. Men who failed to adhere to the societal norm faced ridicule, Brandy, and worse. Young troublemakers used the style etiquette faux pas as an excuse to hat snatch, Brandy.
Hat snatch shenanigans.
What,
my God.
Yes.
That sounds like a Ted Nugent song.
That's
not shenanigans.
Dude, I was watching.
That's not shenanigans.
Ted Nugent was playing that on like some Fox News Channel show. Like, It was some music show that Sarah Huckabee Sanders' dad.
You know? Yeah.
And it's like all these old blue-haired lady. They're sitting there, you know, sitting there tapping their toes to Cat Scratch Fever. It's just really funny to me. And I'm not sure if they knew what that song was about. But anyway, a straw hat is a brimmed hat that is woven out of straw or straw-like material, Brandy, from different plants or synthetics. A straw hat was generally lightweight and designed to protect the head from the sun and against heat strokes. Colonel and I may start bringing hat back. Brandy.
I would love every minute of that.
If the Colonel and I wore straw hats at I would love the next
every minute
week
of
con.
It. Every minute.
DweebCon, of course, the weekend of October the 4th here in Cincinnati. We invite all of you to attend.
Well, I have my felt hat already for DweebCon, but I'll get a straw hat, yeah.
Well, I think we would be violating the faux. We would be committing a faux pas if we wore it in DweebCon.
They may not sell them at the local haberdashery after that. So you should get it now and not wait.
Okay.
Well, they probably come with a warning. They'll sell them all year round, but they come with like a pillow. They come
they
with
a tag
those,
on them
those stickers
that you can't
on.
Cut it off. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, don't remove by, you know, penalty of death. Do not.
Well, men wore them. Men wore them to protect against heat stroke. So
yeah,
they come in handy.
Straw hats. Both of you are on my deck yesterday.
You know,
Timmy.
The both of you could use one to not burn the tops of your heads. Just saying.
We are both. We are both very stylish, Brandy. As you know,
doesn't Dr. Jeff have a straw hat that he wears? And every time I love it. I think he does. And every time I love it so, so much. He is dapper.
Dr. Jeff, if you're listening, post a picture of you on the Facebook group of
he's
you
so
with your
dapper.
Straw hat. Because he sang in a barbershop.
I know.
A quartet.
He's neat.
Yes.
I think they're allowed to wear straw hats all year round.
I can see that, probably.
Barbershop quartet.
All right, go ahead.
I was going to join, but that would
have
been number five. So.
I mean, there's that.
Yeah. Straw hats became the Colonel can sing.
No.
Oh, I can sing.
Thank you. Move on. Moving on.
Straw hats became popular and fashionable in the 19th century. Instead of wearing felt or silk hats in the summer, men donned straw hats. Also, they're also known as boaters, Brandy.
No.
You ever heard that term? And they use them for sporting events. If you see old footage of old baseball games, almost all men were wearing either felt hat or a straw hat. And they dressed up a lot. You know, they wore like suits to go to baseball games.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really, if you ask what's wrong with society today, Timmy, it's
the casual
attire. It started with Casual Friday, Timmy.
Really? Because I've seen your Casual Friday, and, you know, you ripping on it is some kind of hypocrisy.
He's a very
dapper
man. He
rolls in like a Fruit of the Loom tank top and some cut-off jeans for Casual Friday.
Now, don't exaggerate there. He is known for his... appearance.
Not exaggerating.
My dapper appearance, Timmy.
Dapper.
Not.
Eventually, the summer headwear was deemed acceptable for city dwellers as well. So it started out people in the country wearing them, hillbillies, and then it moved into the city where professionals wore them to work. The Colonel and I will start wearing hats to work.
I think we need to. I think we need to bring this back. Somebody needs to bring sexy back to me, and it could be us.
Well, there's no reason why it couldn't be, Brandy.
I will be waiting with breathless
Being made of straw. Being made of straw, the boaters was and is generally regarded as a warm weather hat. In the days when men wore hats when they were outdoors. Straw Hat Day was the day in which men switched from wearing their winter hats or felt hats to their summer hats. It was a sign the beginning of summer. So this is tradition, Brandy. I know you scoff at tradition, but this is tradition.
Well, social norms are not things Brandy readily accepts or follows.
Somewhat true, yes.
I think we've seen that.
The exact date of Straw Hat Day may vary slightly from place to place, but was generally accepted as May the 16th. So that was considered Straw Hat Day, and you can start wearing your straw hats. It's right around our birthday, Brandy.
You get a straw hat for your birthday. I will see if I can find one for your birthday, my dear Tim.
Thank you. Sure. I would appreciate that. So between May 16th and September 15th, it became acceptable for men to wear straw hats. From September 16th to May 15th, however, it was expected that men wear felt hats. Because you can see how this straw hat kind of held the fabric of society together, Colonel.
Right. That's what I mean. That's where it starts, Timmy. It's just...
Thing you know, you're wearing straw hats on September the 16th. Next thing you know, you have anarchy.
Clearly, because that's what we're talking about.
Men who continue wearing straw hats after September 15th were mocked for their fashion.
I feel like if it's a designated day, then you really should know.
Few cities took this mandate more seriously than the fashion-conscious Big Apple.
Thank you.
That's New York City, Brandy. For years, street-smart New Yorkers knew better than to get caught wearing a straw hat out of season. Doing so, they found, all but guaranteed that some mischievous child would snatch the offending headgear and
whoop that kid's ass. Whoop that kid's ass. I will wear my hat when I want to wear my hat. I don't know. Young Noah's probably going to end up, wearing my skin and killing travelers at our motel soon. So stomping a straw hat is not going to be out of his realm of possibility.
It was so common for a young passerby to forcibly remove a hat from someone's head and crush it with his feet that newspapers, including the New York Times, would run reminders and caution people when September 15th was approaching.
Because you couldn't figure out when it was. The hell.
All the news that's fit to print, Brandy. On Wall Street, it became tradition for stockbrokers to smash their straw hats at the closing bell on September the 15th. So it was kind of a tradition, I think. Well, because I think...
What if you have one you really like?
Do you know what I think we need to start doing, Timmy?
Every year you should get a new straw hat, Brandy.
I think we should start a movement, Timmy. We can get enough people behind us.
Okay.
Now, as you played baseball, correct? Right? Yeah. You played a lot of baseball. And I've coached baseball. And one of the things I taught my kids is there's a way to wear a baseball hat.
Go ahead.
And you don't wear your hat backwards. You don't wear your hat cocked to the side. You don't wear your hat just resting on your head. And I would tell the kids, if I see you like that, you're just going to run. Because this is a uniform, and it's part of a uniform, and you wear it properly. So what I think we should do, Timmy, is start a movement that every time you see a kid wearing his hat backwards, you just grab it off his head and smash it.
Oh, okay. So you kind of want to... bring this whole...
I want to bring the traditional baseball hat back to wearing the traditional way, Timmy.
Okay, girl. Probably, but all things worth doing is worth doing right.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's a way to get this country back on its feet, Timmy.
So you think the problem with the country is people's wearing their baseball caps backwards?
Well, you remember the last election, the whole Make America Great Again. I thought it was about getting people to wear the baseball hats right.
I feel like we'd have been better off.
I was all for it. I was like...
He's got a point, Brandy.
It's usually the top of his head.
Newspaper articles warned at the time that it was socially acceptable for stockbrokers to destroy each other's hats because they were among friends. However... it reminded readers that it was not right for strangers to do so.
Fuck.
So, the hat-smashing tradition spilled over into sports, when Chicago Cubs fans would smash their straw hats to celebrate the team's first victory in the month of September. So, Brandy, you probably know more about straw hats after listening to just 15 minutes of this podcast than you knew
that
your whole life coming in.
That is undoubtedly a true statement.
It's an educational podcast. That's what I like to remind people.
Timmy, weren't you just in Chicago?
Yes.
And you went to some games.
I went to one.
Aren't Chicago Cubs fans just absolutely the worst?
Well,
they're
just
the worst people in the world.
Well, we had a good time. So the fans were fine. And plus, we have some listeners in Chicago that I don't want to offend, including the lovely Michelle Johns.
Mickey.
Because you know.
Yeah, but Michelle Johns is not a Cubs. She's a White Sox fan.
Are you sure?
Oh, is she?
She likes the White Sox.
Who else, Brandy? Who else did you say, Brandy?
No, Mickey. That's what her family calls her, is Mickey. And I love that. I love every bit of it.
Oh.
I will call her that from now on.
Yeah, she's wonderful. All right.
Yeah.
Mickey? She's Mickey? And you know it makes sense because I believe someone wrote a song. Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine.
Somebody wrote a song.
Hey, Mickey. Hey,
I know.
Mickey.
I remember.
They did.
That was a one-hit wonder, too, wasn't it? That woman was like 60 or something.
Well, she's a dance choreographer.
She
did okay, even with her one-hit wonder. She did all right for herself.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Basil.
But not all hat-smashing events were so innocent, Brandy. An article...
No, especially not if the head was still in the hat, Timmy.
An article from the Pittsburgh Press, dated September 15, 1910, noted that police had to intervene on more than one occasion to protect straw-lidded pedestrians. It says here in this article, if the informality should become general, there will sure to be a number of obstinate gentlemen, most likely with English blood in their vein, I don't know what the hell that means, who will coolly proceed to treat the fun-making as a physical assault and defend themselves in a manner which will spoil the fun.
So wait a minute, so they're pissed that these people are being like, hey, don't take my fucking hat. It's their fault. I mean, it is for them wearing it.
I think what he was saying is...
Come on.
No, I think it's a warning I think the Pittsburgh Press was trying to warn people not to fuck with people's hats because at some point they're going to fight back.
Especially the British, because they just can't take a joke, Timmy.
Who?
The British they don't find shit funny.
Is that what they mean by English blood in their veins? I didn't get that. But anyway.
Yeah, if they got a funny accent, just don't fuck with the hats because they're going to get all... And then they give you a thorough tongue lashing and a, you know.
Nothing worse than a thorough tongue lashing, Brandy.
Both of you.
Nope.
All right.
The Pittsburgh Press, anyway, they posted this warning. Their assumptions proved true as 12 years later, the unwritten rule was still in effect, and a full-blown riot took place in New York City.
Man started fighting back, Timmy.
It did. It started on September 13th, 1922, 2 days before the straw hat ban was supposed to take effect, which is kind of fucked up, really, you know. If you're gonna steal someone's hat and smash it for not following the rule, you really need to wait till they violate the rule, wouldn't you think, Brandy?
I mean, you got till the 15th. They're well within their bounds.
Young men got a head start on the tradition by grabbing and stomping on the hats of factory workers in the former Mulberry Bin section of Manhattan. Oh, poor factory workers. You know, they're probably like going in there. You know, they're working in all these unsanitary conditions.
And they just had their straw hat.
You know, losing fingers at work probably every other day.
Yeah, but they got a straw hat and somebody took it.
Yeah. And then they walk out. They walk out of work after probably an 18-hour shift, go home to eat a bowl of gruel, and these little fucking kids come up and grab
somebody's
a straw
ass
hat.
For that.
That kind of, yeah. The fighting continued the following night when teen boys roamed the streets with large sticks some of them with nails protruding at the end. Yeah. That can be dangerous, Brandy, to help hook the hats off people's heads.
I'm surprised somebody didn't lose an eye.
Anyone who resisted were beaten, and several men had to be treated for their injuries. Many of the boys were under the age of 15, so they were not arrested. Their punishment was simply a good spanking.
For fuck's sake.
Now, hold on. Now, listeners, I know the kind of freaks that listen to this show.
Uh-huh.
And this goes for you too, Devil. Don't be running down the street grabbing people's hats in hopes of a good spanking.
You got to find a straw hat.
Okay? I'm just saying it.
They're not that easy to come out.
So you're saying, Colonel, that many of our listeners would be aroused by
Thanks
such
for clearing that up, Tim.
They're just like, oh, I can get a good spanking this way?
Well, Colonel, are you willing to name names?
Can we not?
Well, I think we all know who we're talking about. Okay. The Devil, for one.
Uh-huh.
You know Fallon. She would. Let's see. Our happy birthday girl, Karen.
Yes.
Barnes.
Yes.
Karen.
Yeah, she'd be running down the street grabbing hats and then falling, you know, tripping with a high heel saying, oh, no, I can't get away. Oh, help me.
Well, you know, we'd all be running around a lot looking for straw hats because you just don't see them anymore, probably for this reason.
Well, Colonel, I'm going to go ahead and read these. I'm going to go ahead and finish reading the script, but feel free to jump in when you think of other listeners who might be aroused by that sort of thing.
Oh, just off our page. Michelle Johns. She's going to be in Chicago grabbing straw hats, looking all over for a straw hat. Thinking she could get a spanking.
So yeah. The New York Tribune published an article on September 17, 1920, writing, boys were guided by the calendar rather than the weather. And most of, meaning that it was still warm out, I guess, most of their troublemaking proclivities indulged in a straw hat snatching orgy through the city street last night. A straw hat smashing orgy, Brandy, is how it was described.
Yeah.
You just painted a picture for me there.
Thank you. A dozen or more were arrested, and seven were spanked by their parents at the East 104th Street Police Station by order of the lieutenant at his desk. So the lieutenant ordered the parents to spank their children in front of him. Colonel, that seems a little unseemly to me.
You know, Timmy, when I was a kid and we would get into trouble, they had this habit of just taking you down to the local police station.
Mm-hmm.
And your parents had to be the one who picked you up.
Right.
And you did not want to be the guy whose parents showed up first. Because your parents, you know, they would just start beating you right there in the police station. And then you got to beat in front of all your other friends. So luckily, my mom was kind of a straggler, and she didn't mind how long I had to stay at the police station, so I usually got picked up last. So I would take the beating, but I wouldn't get it in front of all my other friends. So, I actually feel that pain. I know what it's like to take a beating in a police station.
So you can relate
again,
to that.
Once again, we got, you know, I can see some of our listeners.
Like who, Colonel?
I don't want to name names like my co-host, you know, on the other show, running down the street, grabbing hats and then running into the police station saying, oh, I've taken all these hats. Is that wrong? Should I get a spanking? You know, just people like that.
Hmm. You think Casey Kitchens, you think she would?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely, Timmy.
Anna Gerline.
No, Anna Gerline is a person who does not follow civil norms, social norms, so she would say, no, it's okay, wear the hat.
What about Jennifer Riker Smith, Colonel?
Jennifer Riker Smith would be somebody who... No, Jennifer Riker Smith would be somebody who would wear the straw hat beyond a date just to get into a fight with somebody.
I can see Tammy Ennis doing that.
OMG.
Oh, Tammy Ennis could. Yeah.
Come on, Cleotis.
So, Brandy, we have a lot of freaks on it. We have a lot. Oh, yeah, Rebecca. Yeah.
I can see Sarah Bloom being the enforcer of the straw hat.
Oh, absolutely.
Cutoff
absolutely.
Date.
She wouldn't play. Sarah would not play.
She's badass. No.
Aaron Fowler. I can see Aaron Fowler getting involved in something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, although hat smashing occurred every year, it wasn't until 1922 that the shenanigans got out of hand. And Brandy is going to now tell us about the riot.
So, on September 16th, 1922, the New York Times first reported that hundreds of boys terrorized straw-lidded citizens, forcing them to run through a gauntlet. Other hoodlums lay hidden doorways before leaping out to attack. A man named E.C. Jones claimed 1,000 teens were part of a roaming mob on Amsterdam Avenue. A man named 1,000
teens.
A man named Winfield Bowley, 55, was kicked and beaten so badly that he was hospitalized. Even police officers, who were greatly outnumbered, were targeted. A group of boys threw Acting Detective Sergeant Bradinsky's hat in the street, and he fell into a gutter while pursuing his tormentors. Authorities would...
Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
...for them. Authorities would break up a gang in one district, only for it to reform in another area. According to the New York Times, gangs of hoodlums between the ages of 7 and 17, seriously, ran riot in the streets, smashing unseasonable straw hats and trampling them on the sidewalk. In some cases...
These kids were out of control, Brandy.
In some cases, mobs consisting of hundreds of young boys terrorized whole neighborhoods. Police received hundreds of reports from men stating they were assaulted and their property destroyed, often in broad daylight. As soon as the police broke up gangs in one district, the hoodlums would resume their activities in another. Although the attacks do appear to have been part of a criminal conspiracy, the assaults were reported in all the boroughs of the city. A main streetcar line in Manhattan was out of order most of the day on September 13th. After juvenile delinquents, some as young as 7, kept jumping on the car, snatching straw hats, and throwing them on the track to be destroyed. A favorite...
And we don't want to make light of this, Brandy, because this is a destruction of private property.
Not only that, they're beating people.
Yeah, I didn't put it in one of them. In one case, a guy was kicked in the groin by a 9-year-old. And, I guess it done some, like, serious damage to him. He was, like, hospitalized and had to be operated on.
Yeah, see.
So that's kicking in the groin is no joke, Colonel.
No, it's just untoward, Timmy. There's certain lines you don't cross. And kicking a man in the groin is one of those things. Now,
but, you know, women tend to laugh about, you know, you ever hear women say, oh, kick him in the balls, yeah. Ha ha.
That is reserved for the most heinous of crimes.
Absolutely, Colonel.
A favorite...
Continue, Brandy.
You just don't jump straight to kicking in the balls, Timmy. I mean, you could pull somebody's hair, slap them in the face a little bit, call them some really ugly names. But too often, people want to jump straight to kicking people in the groin.
That should be the last resort, Brandy.
It is a last resort. You should shoot somebody, actually, before
I'll
you
keep
kick
that
them
in
the groin.
Yes.
A favorite ploy of the boys was to line up 10 to 12 deep, arm themselves with sticks, some with nails in them, and force their victims to run the gauntlet while pounding them over the head with their sticks. Although most of the victims were not seriously injured, all reported destruction of private property and severe headaches. In other incidents...
It's like it turned into goddamn Lord of the Flies up in New
York. In other
incidents...
Well, you would get headache if you get beaten with a stick over the head. It tends to give you headaches.
Yeah.
You need your Advil. Will you be taking Advil with you to your cabin in the...
In other incidents... 10 to 12 boys would hide in doorways and suddenly dash out to surprise and attack their victims.
Why weren't they get
well,
the
that's
shit
what I'm
kicked
saying.
Out
Whip
of them? This is what I'm not understanding.
The young criminals would snatch the victim's hat, smash it through with their fists, while their friends kept the victim busy by assaulting them. One victim, Victor Roy of Queens, reported being taunted by a gang of young boys, mostly under the age of 10.
These
are like little...
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Howdy, boys.
The boys apparently kept heckling Roy as he was walking down Mercer Street by making sport of his large frame. The boys kept whistling.
Oh, that's a smart thing.
The boys kept whistling and shouting out insults to Roy, such as fatso and blubber jowls, which when he'd had enough, Roy stopped to confront the boys and teach them some manners. It was Roy, though, who apparently was taught the lesson. When one of the young lads snuck up behind him, yanked down his trousers, and snatched the straw hat from his head.
They de-pantsed him and de-hatted him.
That's just uncivil, Brandy.
As Roy tried to regain his composure and regain possession of his hat, the boys started passing the hat to each other to keep it from him. One of the boys then tossed the hat in front of an oncoming produce truck, and the hat was destroyed. Harry Gerber, 42, of 115th Street, went to Harlem Hospital to report injuries he had sustained when boys tried to snatch his hat on the Upper West Side. Gerber reported a gang of boys, some as young as 7, snatched his hat and attempted to destroy it. When Gerber attempted to fight back, one lad snuck up from behind, got on all fours, while one of his young friends in front of Gerber pushed him, knocking the Harlem resident to the ground. The boys, 10 and 12, then took turns kicking Mr. Gerber and then dashed away with his hat. As darkness was setting in, as darkness was setting in on the evening of September 13th, now organized groups of teenagers prowled the streets, wielding large sticks, again with a nail driven through the top, looking for pedestrians wearing straw hats and beating those who resisted.
It's like goddamn children of the corn in New York City.
One man claimed that his hat was taken, and the group who had taken his hat joined a mob of about 1,000 that was snatching hats all along Amsterdam Avenue. Many victims fought back against the hat-snatching thieves. Harry Oldbaum, 46, of 116th Street, chased his assailant after a gang of hoodlums snatched his straw hat from his head on the Lower East Side. Mr. Oldbaum caught up with the youngest and apparently slowest member of the group, 9-year-old Morris Skikowitz. Mr. Oldbaum grabbed the lad by his ear and escorted him to the nearest police station, where the young man was charged with juvenile delinquency. His parents were summoned to the police headquarters, and the young lad was released to his parents' custody after he received a well-deserved spanking at the direction of the police lieutenant in charge. Some of the incidents, however, were more serious than others. Jonathan Sweeney, age 10, was struck by an automobile when he and his friends were engaged in the sport near 7th Avenue and 17th Street.
The young boy
had snatched a pedestrian's hat and was attempting to run away when he was struck by a car driven by Brooklyn resident John Monfort.
Shit ain't right. So funny now, is it?
Yeah, but how fast three could blocks a down. Car in 1922
be gone? The young man was taken to Bellevue Hospital for treatment. He suffered multiple fractures as a result, as the automobile had run over his leg. No charges were filed against the driver or the youth. Although the initial brawls on September 15th was broken up by police, the fights continued to escalate throughout the evening. Gangs of teenagers prowled the streets, wielding large sticks, looking for pedestrians, and beating those who resisted. At the end of the first day, the police treated the attacks more like an annoyance than a riot. However, as the incidents increased on the evening of the 15th, police became more concerned. Straw hat riots embroil the East Side, ran a New York Times headline on September 16th. It reported scores of rowdies on the prowl and even mentioned straw hat bonfires being throughout the city.
On the prowl.
Scores of rowdies on the prowl. Reminds me of that movie, not Gangs of New York City. The Warriors, Timmy. You remember
I love that movie. Did you like The Warriors, Brandon?
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Oh, it was about a gang in New York. It's a really good show.
It's about all kinds of different gangs.
Yeah.
Some on roller skates, some...
Some lesbian. They were a lesbian gang.
They had a lesbian softball team gang.
Yeah.
You could have been in that one. Mm-hmm.
Brandy, so, speaking of softball,
what?
When you played softball, when you played softball in college, when you guys were on road trips, did you talk about your lesbianism on the bus? And you know, when
what was the signal? What was the signal you used to say, "I'm
you're
open"?
Fucking
for this.
Ridiculous!
Yeah,
is that like a secret handshake?
No, Chuck.
Well, we're just trying to learn, Brandy. We're trying to learn about your culture.
We're trying to be more woke here, Devil.
You are not.
So
Chuck,
you can't.
Please tell us about the conclusion of these straw hat riots.
All right. Well, a more serious incident occurred on the morning of September 16, Timmy, when a gang of youth decided to snatch the straw hats of dock workers. Now, that's not generally a good idea to mess with dock workers.
Dock workers are pretty badass.
As they
arrived, Brandy, did you ever date a dock worker, a longshoreman?
No, I've never dated a dock worker.
I guess not. Continue, Colonel.
I think she left again, Timmy.
Yeah, she probably had to go. But,
no,
you know,
I didn't leave.
She has to take her.
I just put my phone on mute. I'm making myself something to drink.
She has to take her heroin. Oh, she's
making
herself
a drink.
Colonel.
Oh, you're making yourself
a
drink already. Well,
it's 11 o'clock.
I mean, it's been 20 minutes, Colonel. Come on.
Give me a break.
Yeah.
But I've never dated a longshoreman.
Well, so now they go down. No, but you will be dating an auto parts salesman here.
Lanny.
Sometime in your
Lanny with that accent.
But go ahead.
Mm-hmm. When Dave leaves you. Dave's going to wise up sooner or later. I figured when you said you were going away to the cabin this weekend, he's kicked you out. That's my first thought. Was it yours, Colonel?
I thought she was going to rehab again.
No, not this time.
That was my first.
How many
thought.
Times can are you allowed to go to rehab though? I mean,
look,
I know
if I get another punch.
I think Brandy's got
punch
one
in my
of those,
card. I get a
she
toaster.
Got a punch card. Yeah. Well, back to the story because you know, Brandy. Brandy, could you keep us from getting off track here?
Well, she had to make herself a drink, Colonel, because you know it's been 20 minutes.
I know. Yeah, are you making a shaking or stirred, Devil? Well, the shipyard workers, they had a reputation for being no-nonsense type of men, Timmy. Much like you and I, if we were walking into our jobs. And
we're no-nonsense, Brandy.
The youth would know, these two men, they don't look like we should fool with them. So anyway, when a gang of boys sought to employ their shenanigans against the city's longshoremen, well, chaos quickly ensued, Timmy. The dock workers confronted the boys with 2x4s, wrenches, and other makeshift weapons.
They don't play, Brandy.
No, they don't. And a full-scale brawl broke out between these boys and some grown men on Canal Street in Lower Manhattan. The brawl soon stopped traffic on the Manhattan Bridge and was eventually broken up by the police, leading to numerous arrests.
Numerous arrests, Brandy.
7 boys and 2 dock workers were seriously injured and required treatment. With scores of reported incidents and dozens of arrests, the authorities started to take the assaults more seriously at the end of the second day.
More seriously.
As the New York Tribune reported, on the next day, September 16th, a dozen or so boys were arrested, and 7 were spanked by their parents.
Yeah, I can hear the listeners just giggling right now. They're titillated, Colonel.
Oh, they are. They are. They're just getting all their woman parts are getting all tingly thinking about, oh, how can I steal a hat to get me a spanking, especially by a police officer? Because you know they love men in uniforms.
They love men in uniforms.
Yes, they do. Now, some delinquents were fined $5 because, as the judge explained, despite the tradition, hat smashing was illegal. It is against the law to smash a man's hat, and he has a right to wear it in a January snowstorm if he wishes.
That's exactly
right. The curiously named Peter Hatting told the New York Times, to hit a man's hat is a simple assault, and in this court, it will be treated as such. And I want you to spread this word among all who had
spread
smashed hats.
The word.
And they had one youth in there.
The word.
They had one youth in his courtroom, and the prosecutor was badgering him, and he said, you took the hat, didn't I? You took the hat, didn't I? And he said, and finally the little youth broke, and he said, you're goddamn right I took the
Seriously?
Hat.
Seriously?
And he said, you know what? We have rules. We have rules, and on September 15th, you switch to felt hats because this is a dangerous world we live in. And the fact is, you want me snatching hats. You need me snatching hats.
Nothing like that happened.
It actually did in New York courtroom. So Magistrate Hatting was aggravated at the hundreds of cat snatching and hat snatching related cases that was filling his courtroom and made it clear that he would no longer treat these as a nuisance, but as a serious crime and would jail any would-be offenders. Now, interestingly, and see, Timmy, this is where we really get to the heart of the story, Timmy.
Now, Brandy, the one thing I like about the Colonel when he reads, it's, first of all, it's very, he's very articulate and it's very clear. And he knows so much. He's able to take a dip in his of knowledge and share it.
His puddle of knowledge.
Well, researched these stories, Timmy.
You didn't even know what it was about till 20 minutes ago.
I'm not just walking in here cold, Timmy. You send me a script, and I think, well, Timmy's researched this, so it must be very important. So I'm going
well,
to...
Well, I appreciate you always taking the subject serious and always doing extra research, Colonel, because our listeners really appreciate that. You're sober throughout the podcast. You're not under influence of any
Wait
type
a minute.
Of drugs.
I'm starting to feel attacked. What happened?
Percocets.
Ambisol.
Percocets.
Ambisol.
Marijuana.
What?
Yeah.
So, thank you, Colonel, for taking this podcast seriously.
Yes. But here's where we get to the heart of the matter, Timmy. The riot was a boon for hat stores, which stayed open late to provide soft headwear for those men who feared being attacked.
Well, that's
lines
kind of a,
formed
that's
with
smart.
Several hundred customers outside many of Manhattan's finest haberdasheries as customers queued to purchase felt hats in hopes of being spared ridicule and assault. So
I am always hopeful
of
being spared ridicule and assault, Brandon.
The straw hat industry. That's who is behind it.
Mm-hmm. Goddamn. No. Yeah, the straw hat industry.
Well, no, it was the felt hat industry. It was behind
you. You think? Oh, yeah, they would benefit.
Because they were selling.
Felt hat industry, sorry.
Yeah.
Yes.
Follow the money. You always follow the money in these things. And the money leads right back to the haberdasheries. There were haberdashery shenanigans, Timmy.
Well, Colonel, as always, you get right to the heart of the matter. You are able to zoom in on the real problem. So thank you, Colonel.
Thank you.
Well, I like this. I like to think I can see through all the nonsense, Timmy.
Now, Colonel, do you have any final thoughts on the straw hat riot? Oh, absolutely continue, Colonel.
Well, no one died in the straw hat riots
of 22,
but of 22. You know, what was started as a childish prank began to be a criminal offense. But in 1925, Timmy, President
there was a guy
Coolidge
killed in 24.
Maybe one.
How
of,
are you going to skip over that poor guy?
Yes. The hat-snatching tradition continued for a couple more years. One man was reportedly killed in 24. We don't know that for sure, because that could have been a domestic incident, too, where his wife just came at
no,
him.
That's
with
not,
a, with
no,
a
that's not what happened.
Hatchet.
He got beat by a gang of older boys using the Straw Hat Day as an excuse, and they beat him and robbed him and killed him.
Yeah, but that was used as an excuse.
Well, right. So they, but they went ahead and beat and robbed and killed him.
It wasn't a true straw hat crime.
And if you're gonna compliment Timmy's
yeah, see,
research, then you need to read all of it, because there are little tidbits in here that you feel like you can just blow off.
What I'm
because
saying
you think you know better, Cliff Clavin.
Is they were using the Straw Hat Day. They
Colonel,
were using the Strat
it's
Day.
It's clear that Brandy is feeling somewhat inadequate with her performance,
it is.
So she has to attack you. But please continue, Colonel.
Yeah, they were using a logical fallacy there, Devil. They were using Straw Hat Day as a straw man excuse to beat this man
Jesus.
To death.
Good point, Colonel.
See.
What are you like, yes. Ed McMahon, Tim?
So anyway,
settle down. Oh, yeah. What the fuck are you doing?
Well,
just supporting my co-host. God. Thank you.
It takes a village. It takes a village to raise you, Devil. And we're trying to just help you out here.
I don't need help.
I know you're well up into your 40s, and it's hard for you to change.
Well,
but
she's
just trying.
Her mind is on that cabin and getting her booze and all that. She's not into this episode at all. She's more in line, more thinking about her line of coke.
What
she's gonna be doing down there at the cabin? And
mm-hmm. Yeah, strippers in the hot tub. It's just a shameful exercise.
You know what?
Is what you're going to be doing.
Stephanie, please keep an eye on her. And you got the Narcan available.
You know what,
I
here's
hope.
The thing.
I hope.
The
you
weekend
know what's amazing
of debauchery.
Is like every mother that's listening right now is like, you know, girl, I totally get it. Let's just go. You don't have to do any of that. Just go and it'll be quiet. You can sleep in. They're all feeling it. They're feeling me. They understand.
You know. It
not every
me of
woman
a,
wants to escape from
did
her
you
family.
Ever think I just wanted to escape from work?
You know, this reminds me of a Bill Burr thing where he was talking about guests that Oprah always had on. And she would say, you know, she's an actress and, you know, it's a hard job. But she has the hardest mother in the job in the world, and that's being a mother. And I agree with Bill on this. And if you've ever been a roofer when it's 105 degrees out, or a mother feeding your kids peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and popping in Bob the Builder in the DVD while you go drink
Bob
wine and take a nap, I would venture to say it's not the hardest
or,
job.
Or
in
watch
the world.
Dr. Phil on the sofa, from the sofa.
Right. Yeah. Eat bonbons. I mean, mothering, how hard is
anymore?
It? You know
everybody
what I mean?
Says that. Do they even sell those anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, when you get back, I'll have you some at work.
I think you're a lying motherfucker, but okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying.
Okay, Colonel. What
about
1925?
Well, the president in 1925 decided to speak out, and he said, "Discard the state for straw
Silent
hats."
Cow.
Yeah. Silent Cow decided to speak, and he said, discard the date for straw hats and ignore it. And it describes the U.S. president calling the straw hat expiration date ridiculous. The leader of the free world, Timmy, held wide influence as more and more men began to ignore the unofficial deadline and straw hat smashing eventually died out, but really that was the first tear to me in the fabric of our society. Hmm. It was just one loose string. Everything was fine. Then we had Straw Hat Day that just got ignored, and that little thread got pulled in the fabric of society, Timmy. And look where we're at now.
Well, that's why you need to run for president, Colonel, because we need you. America needs you.
Well, I think I am going to run for president, and one of the first things on my platform is going to be bringing back Straw Hat Day.
Well, good.
And Baseball Hat Day.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Baseball hat.
Go for it.
Is she still sober? She's still awake.
Shut up.
All right. Brandy, your final thoughts on the Straw Hat Riot of 1922?
It's pretty fucking ridiculous, honestly. I mean, you're, like, assaulting.
Are you wondering why we even did this story?
I mean, the story is very interesting. I think the whole thing's ridiculous because, you know, you have nothing else to do but whoop somebody's ass over a hat, like, over a straw hat. And these grown men are sitting there, you know, you're getting beat up by a 9-year-old, and you're just sitting there and taking it. Like, start beating.
In all fairness, they were wrong. In all fairness, they shouldn't have wore the hat.
But they started early. The problem was they started on like the 13th. So come on.
So you're saying if they did it on the 15th, would have been okay.
At least you wouldn't have had these guys, you know, just wandering out of the coal mine and looking up, and they're getting their ass whooped over some stupid straw hat. Give me a break. Whoop their ass. Whoop those kids' ass. Seriously. You're telling me the people back then didn't have canes?
Colonel, your final thought on the Straw Hat Riot of 1922.
Well, the rules were clear to me. You don't wear the hat after the 15th. Now, these young men were out of line by beating on the men before the thing, before the deadline. But once the men reached the deadline and they were still wearing the straw hats,
they're fair game.
They had it coming to me.
These hats are not gremlins.
Colonel Justice.
Well, I'm just saying.
It's Colonel Justice, Brandy.
It's not at all. Colonel Justice is reserved for, you know, not these people. It's reserved for really, really horrible people. If you toss it around, it's meaningless.
I think the Colonel's point is a valid one, is we really didn't have the anarchy that we have today. We don't have serial killers back in 1922.
Yeah, but I think that's not true, and we know it.
Well, when you started breaking society's rules by wearing straw hats beyond the acceptable date, it all starts falling apart.
Well, I will give as an example one of the brilliant, brilliant legal minds of our time, Timmy.
Thank you, Colonel.
Rudy Giuliani and
what
his broken window theory, Timmy. Now, we all know what a genius he is, right? Because we see him on TV all the time.
I thought you meant me, but okay.
You didn't pass the bar.
Well, no, I was going to get to you, but the broken window theory.
Yes.
You know, you just, I don't really know
there
what the
it
broken
is. Okay,
window
good.
Well,
is,
it's but. that you have police enforce jaywalking and.
Right, right.
You know, loitering, whatever.
Yeah.
So that you are so strict that you enforce all the rules, even no matter how small, and that will eventually lead to the to cleaning up the city, and people won't be violating the bigger rules if you start enforcing the smaller ones. I think that's the idea behind that. So you're saying that because they let people wear their straw hats after the acceptable date, people began to take societal norms loosely. And
what I'm saying is
that leads to,
would we have had a
more,
Ted Bundy?
Yes.
If we had Straw Hat Day,
probably not. He makes
no,
a good
doesn't.
Point, Brandy.
He doesn't at all. Not at all.
We would like to thank all the wonderful people who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, please go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or
just a wee little bit to me.
Colonel, we got some shout-outs to the wonderful people who support us on Patreon.
We do, and we have Charlene Nehron. How do we forget her last time, Timmy? I must have, though.
I don't know, but forgive me for that. Thank you, Charlene.
Nick Johnson, Timothy Sloan, Mary Sheldon, Gina Green, Whitney James, Jay Cleveland Payne. One of my good friends. I was on his show one time, Timmy.
Yes, he's a
Nina
very
Gerard,
cool guy.
Carl Aspen. He has This Is a Conversation. That's a very good podcast. Sue Van Hook, Paula Kimes, who just had a birthday. Jim Seabright, Andrew Scammell, Tommy Lane, Jason Dykes, Terry Stratford Malachi, Brandy McBride, Jennifer Savota, Purr, Maggie Glover, Gracie's mom, Erica. Hyro, the Comeback Podcast, LK Bar, Reen, of course, Marissa Albanese, let's see, Phyllis Munson, Jennifer Riker Smith down in with the Austin crew.
That is the Stephen Austin Potts, Mafia down there, Colonel.
The Austin Mafia, Stephen Potts, who's really basically a one-man mafia down in the other half of the world, Anna Garrett. Ben Dobrovich, Ursula, also known as Lenick, Clark and Diane Trowbridge, who we hope to see at DweebCon, Beth Ann Wallen, Michelle Johns, Margaret McDonald, Aaron Turner, Jess, Leanne Flanagan, Julia Rodriguez, Mike Sadler, Jamie Dent, Tyrone, Marsha Boris, Stacy Alsop, Jody and Sean Wells, Amber Anderson, of course, They Walk Among Us podcast. Lorna Violet, Michael Deo, Kelly Charette, Karen Widener, Callie Jones, Laura Meredith, Jessica Greeno, Mike Brown from Pleasing Terrace, Sarah Bloom, Amber Krupp, Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois, Timmy, Kimberly Cameron, Elise Edgerton, History Goes Bump, which is a great podcast, Annette Trevino, I'm sorry, Amber Trevino and Annette Petre, Lise, Ahara Lopez, Alicia and Chip Mincy, Marquia Smith, Dr. Jeff and his wonderful bride, Dawn, who we hope is healing up well from her recent surgery, Andrew Happ, Karen Bonds, who's out stealing hats right now, Rachel Flynn, Shirley Strapp, Todd Long, Melissa Montoya, Maja, Karen Michelle, Carol Elise, Christine Malachinsky, Adam McWaters, Paula Kimes. We got her twice because it was a birthday.
Yeah, it was her birthday. Vanish Podcast. So happy birthday, Paula.
Canadian True Crime, Charlie from Insight, Angela Santos, Kim Stroop, Lydia Fisher, Nicole Adams, Mistress Veda, Ron Monasterio, Tracy Smith, Bridget Bernard, Stacy. Cheryl Weldon, Veronica Moreno, Chris Lane, Alexandra, Elaine Baker, Vivian Baca, Amanda Lopez, Shannon Arnold, Kimberly Smith, who's down in Orlando right now, Robin Sherrard, Keith Whitfield, Cassie Kitchens, Natasha Burgess, Julie Bentley, Patty Schmidt, of course, our lovely lady, royalty really to me, who listens to us, Lady Beverly from across the pond.
And I want to just say to her, I hope you're feeling better. She's been a little under the weather.
Yes.
She has a new prime minister.
Yes, she does.
She does. Boris Johnson.
Welcome
He's
to our
He's got crazy
world,
hair, too. How come we keep... Nope. You know what... I think I got a good chance of getting elected because I got some crazy hair on me, too.
I think you should run for the Prime Minister of Great Britain, Colonel.
Well, had I known, I would have called for a snap election, Timmy.
You should have.
I think I might go over there and call for a snap election now.
Perfect.
I think you would have a lot of support, Colonel.
Mm-hmm. And you know what my campaign slogan would be?
What would that be?
Bully.
Bully.
Brandon. Bully.
Bully.
Of course, we have the twin forces of Rudy the Wonder Dog and Ruta Baker the Fierce. And the lady who we do this show for week after week after week, Dottie Scott. Dottie, I know there was a low body count in this one. Next week, we hope to have some kind of mass horrible thing to happen to get you up to 10, 12.
But next week, it'll be just you and me.
Yes, I will be out of town next week. So
we'll do
Brandy,
something gruesome, Devil. Okay. We'll do something really gruesome.
And I'm sure it will be quite
That'll
awful.
Be amazing.
But please do it. So please try to get it out so I can listen to it on my flight home.
Sure.
Yes.
Colonel, I hesitate to bring this up, but I don't want to shame anyone, but how old is young Beauregard right now?
Beauregard is 7 weeks old right now.
At what age would it be appropriate for him to become a Patreon supporter of the show?
He's about 3 weeks away, Timmy.
All right, because it's kind of, you need to have a talk to him, let him know it's expected that he contribute.
Oh, no, he already knows. We got to give him a dog bar mitzvah, Timmy, where we get him, you know.
Are you going to cut his wiener?
All kinds of money. I don't know if they cut the wiener or just the balls. I don't know really what they do there, but when that happens, he'll get cards with money in them. And he said the first thing he wanted to do was be a sponsor of the History Dweeb show.
Very good. If you would like to contribute to become a Patreon member, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs. October 4th, again, the date that weekend for DweebCon here in Cincinnati. If you need more information on that, just go join our Facebook group, History Dweebs, the podcast, and you'll be able to get all the information you want on that upcoming event. And thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Good day.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.